Allianz. Supporting all 32 counties through the Allianz Leagues.
A grain of rice. It's going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on,
Mayo. You've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Now we have Cork legend Ger Cunningham with us, current coach with the Cork Hurlers. Ger, unprecedented times, I suppose.
Yeah, unprecedented times. Are you quite day?
Yeah. When is the last time you've seen the lads?
We got together last week, Wednesday night.
Yeah.
We got together. We trained Wednesday night, and even then, our doctors Cullum and Conn were even just warning us, like they said, you know, not too sure that we may have to look at introducing some sort of guidelines here in relation to coming to training and that sort of stuff, because it was beginning to break in that kind of sense. And we trained and we didn't do anything about it other than that. We said, yeah, we'd let it because we weren't due to train again until the weekend. But in the meantime,
obviously the word came through on Thursday, wasn't it?
The bank came in on Thursday, all that kind of stuff, so it didn't put us on lockdown straight away. So
There's no precedent for how you deal with something like that, really, is there?
There's not really much you can do. What kicks into place in the context, I suppose, we're all kind of, I suppose, waiting to see what happens. But I suppose the fact of looking at it from the outside and looking in, you know, it's probably not going to be a short-term situation. So there's no urgent stuff in relation to, like, okay, there's a date or you have a date to aim for that you would definitely be back by the 29th or whatever it is. You know, they've put the 29th in place, but I'm not too sure how realistic that is. And I suppose at this stage now, it's just people are just beginning to get used to the fact of, you know, that maybe the next couple, 2, 3, 4 weeks, like, they're not going to be in a situation where there'll be any collective training in any shape or form. So getting their head around that and getting used to it and understanding the implications of it. And you know, with other stuff that you have to do and the self-isolating and staying away from people and, you know, it kind of impacts and people are beginning to maybe start thinking outside the box, but there's obviously not a lot you can do.
Yeah, so what, like, I mean, obviously, all the players have their own programmes to do to some extent anyway, aside from the collective training, I presume.
Yeah, they would. Like the collective training is gone, so, like, they'll be...
But even before, let's say, even before they...
Yeah.
For this band, you have your bit to do
a couple of times a week as well. The lads at that stage, like, you know, these guys know exactly what they have to do. They're well versed in training and what they need to do at different times. So it should be no great burden on them to be able to go off and do different things on their own.
To ramp it up to a four-day week or whatever, as opposed to two, or whatever.
Yeah. And I suppose from a point of view of what it creates an opportunity as well. Because, you know, we've been going fairly full on since we went back from the start of the year. You know, the matches came thick and fast. We played, you know, 5 or 6 matches in 5 or 6 weeks, you know, so you wouldn't really know downtime, you know, and you were in the middle of it and, you know, we didn't qualify for the league, you know, for the knockout stages. So all of a sudden, it was your first time to begin to, you know, to take a longer term view rather than a short term view of a match next Sunday.
Yeah.
So look, it'll give people a chance to go in, maybe just to recharge the batteries in one sense. But I suppose, you know, all players want to do is play and play games and you know, suppose you train to play, you know what I mean? So it'll be, I suppose it's just that, I suppose that's the, you know, the fact that there's nothing out there at the moment, there's nothing short term, there's no immediate match coming up on Sunday for them to look forward to. So, and that might be difficult for self-motivating guys to go out and do a bit, but I think it's just, you know, I think there's a bit of a situation where they'll have to kind of, you know, put a plan in place and, you know, try stick to it in some shape or form, that they don't leave it go for maybe, you know, for a week or so and say, I'll take a week out or whatever and get back. You know, that they'd need to be chipping away and doing something, because, as you say, you know, you're not too sure when this is going to come back in.
Yeah.
And when it does come back in, you know, that they would be, you know, hopefully in the same shape, if not better tomorrow, when they left.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it earlier, you can't overlook the psychological side of things as well, because, it's obviously a stressful time for everybody. Is kind of in this sort of state of worry and stress as well about things, like, and I mean, young lads are obviously vulnerable to that as well, you know.
And like they're all part of families and all, you know, that's the priority at this stage, that people look after themselves and look after their families. Look, you know, that, you know, all those lads, you know, their parents and their grandparents, and I think it's beginning to kick in now that, you know, that, you know, for some of the younger generations, they may need to make sure that they do self-isolate and they do, you know, I mean, you know, they do go by take the advice that's been given by the medical people, and I think that's crucial from that point of view. So, any temptation in any shape or form that guys will get together, we'll have a collective session themselves, or they go out for, you know, for a kick around or a puck around. You know, it can't be done. So I think they have to be sure to obey the rules. Like,
and to be fair, from all we're hearing so far, like, I think the sporting community and the GAA community have been pretty good in observing the guidelines laid out.
Yeah,
we don't hear about anybody going rogue far anyway.
Well,
you know?
Well, in the world of social media, you nearly always hear if somebody did something or other that they felt was, you know, was inappropriate or not right. I think the social media would be on straight away, and you know, people would be admonished like for doing something like that. So
it's self policing at this stage.
At this stage, like, and I think if anybody was even mentioning it or saying it, like, you know, I think he'd be told quickly enough that it's something, you know, you can't do it. Like, and
yeah,
the GAA came out like in the last couple of days about, you know, there's no insurance cover anyway for guys if they go collective training or if they do anything like that kind of stuff. So I don't think it's not a risk worth taking any shape or form.
No,
you know?
And we had a piece for Jack Anderson as well, the legal implications in terms of if a manager instructed players to do something collective and something happened, one of them, you'd be leaving yourself wide open to a legal challenge.
Wide open. No, the instruction has come out straight, you know, from the GAA, from the county boards, from the management, you know, from that point of view, that, you know, this is down tools time, you can't do it, you know, there's no point in even chancing to do anything like that in any collective situation.
So in terms then, like, is the biggest challenge the uncertainty about time? I mean, because... And we've questions in from club managers and all of that, like, as to whether you kind of go into almost pre-season mode or whether you're, you know, you can't actually target a time to when you're building towards. So are you very conscious of the different, what load to put on players at this stage then? Is that difficult?
Look, you're heading into, you're the middle of March, you're heading into kind of getting ready for championship that's coming down the line in some shape or form. So whether you go back to, I think you just tip away in relation to what you're, you know, the plan that you're doing in relation to suppose you have a couple of weeks maybe if you want to increase people's load in relation to what they do and the amount of training that they're doing. But it'll obviously, it's something that you can, you know, you have to monitor, because, you know, I suppose to, as you say, the frustrating part of it is we don't know, you know, as to what's happening out there. But, you know, from talking to a few different lads, I don't think this is going to be short term. So, you know, what you can do, maybe you could add a little extra bit in relation to guys if they want to do a little bit extra. But, you know, I suppose it is frustrating that that there is no end date or there is no time for return. So we'll have to just wait and see what happens.
Yeah, like in terms of the infrastructure around how inter-county setup works, like, is it? I suppose the onus is the S&C guys are going to be pretty busy, I suppose, in terms of looking after players individually. And I presume an S&C coach can meet players one-on-one occasionally as well. I mean, I presume that part of things is okay.
Yeah, I would presume social distancing would be fine in that regard.
Yeah, you know?
It would have to be some sort of shape or form. It would have to be on an individual basis or whatever. So, you know, that would be done. But I would imagine a lot of the stuff fellas will be doing a lot of it off their own back anyway. You know, they would have their programs, they would do it, but, you know, communicating by a WhatsApp message or whatever stuff that to say what you've done. There mightn't be a need to meet up in that kind of situation, because it's, you know, once you can document what you're doing, the S&C guy can have a look at it and see what you're doing is right, that's fine, that's no problem. So I would still be actively encouraging that there'd be no communications in that sort of shape or form with the S&C guy, that he can do it online or do it over the phone or whatever, stuff like that he doesn't have to meet up.
And I presume all this stuff is pretty easy to monitor now in terms of all the devices that these lads are wearing and carrying around. Like, if you want to make sure that some fella has done his 5K run or something, it's very easy to look into the data. If that's something you want to do.
Most guys have technology over the stage, but inter-county players, Larry, at this stage, if you're having to, you know, you shouldn't have to situation.
You don't need
to
babysit these.
Not really. No. These guys are all, you know, these guys are all self-motivated, self-driven.
Yeah.
They do this anyway. They do stuff outside of our training domain. You know, guys love going out and doing the extra bit themselves, like, you know what I mean? So they know, and they're pushing themselves all the time to try to improve themselves. So if you're having to mind a fella or trying to push a fella to do whatever is required in training,
he's probably not the right kind of fella. You'd
certainly be questioning, maybe looking at to say, what's he doing here in the first place?
Sure.
These guys will be doing it themselves, and they'll be, as you say, if they can see, maybe some guys will be maybe encouraging to turn it around in the context of if there's things they need to do themselves in relation to, you know, an opportunity. It's like a guy who gets an injury. you know, when he's coming back, that, you know, he might be able to play on the pitch, but there's other things you can do in relation to trying to motivate yourself, try to improve where things need to improve.
You made a great point about a lad who has a finger injury, for instance, who is perfectly mobile, can do all the physical side of things, but just can't play hurling for a period.
Yeah.
Those guys are used to, hurlers are used to that kind of environment and where they go away and work on something.
Absolutely, you know, and we've had it, you know, it happens all the time. Guys get injured, especially in hurling. You get the finger injury, you break your finger, and that's normally 4 to 6 weeks. Like, you get a finger injury, you won't be playing in that time. So we'd be trying to use the psychology of turning it around to say, well, you know, what can you do if you're not able to play? There's other things you can do to maybe work on things that you need to work on that, you know, you mightn't have had the time up to now to do it.
Yeah.
Whereas now you say, well, now's the time. Now you have the time. Find a plan, put it in place, and hopefully in that 4 and 6 weeks that you'll come back maybe better in and stronger in the areas that you need to improve, and then your hurling obviously will pick up quickly enough, because once you get back hurling, you're able to hurl with the finger injury. So that'll be the message I'd be giving guys like that, from the point of view of there's stuff there to do. Go and do it.
And for lads, even like after a league campaign, who felt they didn't perform as well as they could, or had slipped maybe back the pecking order in a panel, like, this is an opportunity for them to get back up the rankings again, isn't it?
That's all you can do. That's all you can take it. You know what I mean? You can down tools and say, well, okay, this is not going to happen for a while, and take a break. And take a break is grand, but I can be well sure that all these guys who are playing at this level, you know, they'll get itchy feet and they'll want to start back.
Yeah.
You know, they'll go out and they'll want to doing whatever it is that they need to improve on, going for a run or whatever it is. And I think that, you know, I think that'll start happening. But, you know, you need to be ensured that, you know, it's on their own, do their own thing for the moment, until such time as we're told differently.
And knowing these guys, I mean, the dangers they do too much more than not enough, I'd say. Like, their appetite for work would be
good. But again, I would think this is where the conversation with the S&C guys should be coming into place in relation to what they should do. What are the specifics they need to work on? There's no point in going out and doing a load of extra stuff that might not be of benefit to you. So, you know, if you need to work on your speed or you need to work on your endurance, you know, you work on that. So, I'd be specific in the context of what you have to do, what you need to do, what you have to work on. Go away and work on that. Don't be tempted to overload, like, and say, well, I'm going to overload here, and I'll spend an extra half an hour doing other stuff, and that could finish up and you're getting an injury, you know, of a sort, or doing a little bit of tear here and there, and then you're back to square one. So do enough. Do what you do in conjunction with this, and watch what you're able to do, and that'll keep it ticking over.
I suppose Cork are in a slightly different situation as you were having this little bit of a competitive break anyway from games, but for other teams like who would have been facing into a series of league matches or whatever, it's an opportunity to, which you maybe don't often get during the season, to kind of work on the tactical side of things, or to tune players into what you're looking for them, or to reset almost a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose in one sense it is, but like the problem be that you probably have to do it, you know, either online or do it on a one-to-one situation that there's no collective gathering together.
The video clips, I presume, would come into their own in this kind of situation, doesn't it?
Yeah, you got to think outside the box in that point of view, that if you want to keep active with guys in relation to what we're trying to do or things that they need to work on, now they have a bit of time.
Yeah.
There's no excuse in relation to time to do it. People should have a bit of time now to be able to look at that. So I would imagine that's something that we'd be encouraging guys to have a look at your own little stuff there on the video, see what stuff that you need to work on, have a look at the bigger picture as well. So you'd be hoping that's the case, and I think you'd be encouraging guys to do so. And I'd imagine those guys will be looking at that, and as I said, they're mad for information, they will be doing that.
It's very hard to see where, I mean, look, we're operating a complete vacuum time-wise as to when this might situation might improve. It's very hard to see how the season can be fitted in, really, isn't it? I mean, I presume that's the big chat, is how the championship gets played.
It's going to be a big headache in the context, but I suppose it's not the people.
I mean, what kind of notice would you, let's say if you the situation was lifted in early May or something, and you had a championship game in a week's time. I mean, you'd need a certain amount of notice, I'd imagine, as well, would you, to get lads ready?
You probably would, and is it something that you'll get? I'm not too sure, but is it something that you'll expect? Obviously the powers that be are going to look at it and bring their heads together and look at how the season is going to pan out. I presume we've seen already in Galway and Limerick, where the club scene in April has been decimated, and that's going to be put back. You'd imagine most other counties, in some shape or form, will have no other choice, maybe, but to look at something similar, and that goes back then to maybe later on in the summer. And then trying to fit another round or two in championship matches in when the intercounty season is over. So whether they have a condensed intercounty scene from whenever we do return to play in, so you might, you know, whether they go ahead with, you know, the proposed round robin Munster Championship, Leinster Championship, whether that will be looked at. They might have a short and condensed championship. I'd say it's all up for grabs, really. I'd say we won't really know for a couple of weeks as to how the whole thing's going to pan out.
And it would be a certain amount of a backlash from the club players as well if we were to prioritise getting the county stuff run off at the expense of the club players as well, I suppose, in terms of shelving. I mean, it would cause havoc in Cork, I suppose, the lack of a club month, wouldn't it?
Well, it would. It'll have serious impact because obviously there's a couple of rounds in hurling and football, obviously, with the dual players and the amount of clubs that are in Cork. You know, it will have a huge impact. So that'll have to be sorted out, that'll have to be fitted in. So I can't imagine the intercounty scene in any shape or form being extended to, you know, after the proposed All-Ireland final dates, because, you know, they had dates penciled in from the middle of August onwards anyway to get the county championship finished. So I can't see where the intercounty scene will be extended, I suppose, to the detriment of the club player. So again, I suppose it's unprecedented times, really. We really don't know, really, I suppose, as to how it's going to play out.
So in terms of, look, just looking back briefly, Gerard, at how the league went, I know you didn't make the knockout stages, but I kind of got a sense that you were happy enough with the performances along the way, some of the performances anyway.
Yeah, look, I'd say at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter, no, because the league has obviously been shelved in one shape or form. So whether the quarterfinals and the semi-finals and finals we played, I don't know. But it still doesn't take away, like, we had five matches, we lost three, we won two, you know, so it was, we'd have liked to get to the quarterfinal, plus it was another game, but I think we were competitive in all the games. There was only a couple of scores in most of the games. We played well in Waterford enough, if you just go through the games for a minute. Mm. You know, we had a great start. It was probably a game that we should have got more of than we did. We were disappointed to lose it. We turned it around. We played very well against Tip in the park, you know, as maybe...
First, I thought you were good at that, right? Yeah.
Yeah, well, the first night in the park, obviously, you know, it was a special night, and the park reopening and under lights and Tip coming to town.
You were fired up on the sideline as well.
You have to be fired up in some shape or form. You can't be calm all the time.
It was hectic, wasn't it? It was a very good match.
It was good, yeah. It was encouraging from our point of view, because, you know, we needed to, obviously, we'd lost to Waterford, so we were hoping for a response, and, you know, like, going up to Westmeath was just, the weather was just an absolute lottery. Like, you know, it was incredible. I had my hands in my pocket, my gloves on, and my hands were frozen. I can imagine the guys out on the pitch trying to play hurling. Like,
Patrick Hogan couldn't feel his hands taking the freeze.
He got 2-8 that day. Like, you know what I mean? He got two penalties, and how he hit the shots with the power and the accuracy that he did, like, was unbelievable. Like, you know what I mean? So, you know, we got out of Westmead, really, you know, to have been very disappointing to lose it. But, you know, I'm not blaming the conditions, because, you know, you don't like excuses. It's the same for both sides. But look, it was what it was. And
I get a sense now, when you win the All-Ireland there, whatever year it's played, you'd be looking back at that Westmead game as the character building exercise, maybe.
That's what happens. You know, it just levels everything. Like, you know, the underdog, on a day like that, would absolutely love those sort of situations, because they have nothing to lose. And, you know, they were well more, like, Westmeath are improving, and it's great to see, you know, the Westmeath, the Leash and the Carlos, they're getting better. And, you know, especially in the winter time, especially, you know, Cork had a big victory last year, I suppose, when they went up there for the championship, but that was when, you know, Westmeath played the week after the Joe McDonagh Cup final, which is very unfair.
Yeah.
So, you know, but again, we got over it, and we took the 2 points, and we got over it fairly quickly. But, again, I suppose we didn't... Limerick again, we played well enough in patches. We were very poor in the first half, but turned it around the second half, and played well again, and put ourselves in a situation where we could have won the game. And then, you know, I suppose going up to Galway, then we had something to play for. You know, Cork haven't played Galway outside of Galway since 2012 for some reason, that we always have to go up there. It's a tough place to go.
Yeah.
And the way the fixtures fell, that the Galway game being postponed, meant they had something to play for as well. It was they had every opportunity or incentive to try win the game. So it was a good game, but, you know, we were unfortunate. Robbie got sent off, like, with, you know, 12 an hour to go, and we were just kind of beginning to turn the tide. We just kind of hit. So unfortunately, sending off, like, and, you know, it put us on the back foot there for the last 20 minutes of the match. Again, you know, we were right there in the 71st minute, with only a point in it. You know, I think they got a couple of scores right at the end of a free play, 6 or 7 minutes injury time. But wasn't to be. But, you know, I suppose we had So I know it just gives us a chance to review and restock and see where we are. I think we've given fellas plenty of chances in relation to the league. We've not sure the number of players we've tried, but we've tried a lot of players in a lot of different places, and I think that's what the league is for. To build a squad to be strong enough that when you need your 21 players in the championship when they go out for the next, because we have a tough campaign. Like, we have Limerick on the 10th of May, we have a 3 week break, and then we have 3 matches in 13 days.
I expect there'll be no 3 week breaks if it comes out to
go back and look at that. That's just the way it felt for us, whether it'll change that or not, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
As we stand, we have 3 matches then in 13 days. So we need a squad.
Yeah.
And we need to have a good guys ready to go that can perform and that have that are well ready to play at that level. So that was the purpose behind giving people a chance.
And we saw a lot of it during the league anyway. The team seemed to perform very well for over half a game. Like, we saw a good bit with Tip and with Galway to an extent as well. Like, I suppose the natural fitness would be a factor as well during the league, maybe, would it?
Yeah, I think most teams would be fairly level. We were impacted by the Fitzgibbon Cup from our point of view.
It's
not an excuse, but we were delighted with, obviously, that UCC went on to win the competition, because it's great for the lads that to get used to winning. They wouldn't have had too much success at an underage level going up along. So any success that they have at a national level is very good for them. It's good for their own confidence, good for their morale. So we were delighted with that, but it did impact on it. We were, at times, we had to, the first object was to mind the player, to make sure that they weren't overloaded with playing too many matches. But every county had it, but I think we had somewhere in the region of 20, 21 players between all the different colleges involved. So that, that impacted, and that took its toll in relation to what we were able to do. So now we were just looking forward to getting back where we have kind of numbers of training and able to have, able to have 30 players there. And all of a sudden, now this thing kicks in. So
some of those lads, I suppose, could probably do with a bit of a break now, right?
Probably, I suppose they can't. Yeah, it's been full on for a lot of them. I mean? Even though when the season goes on, it moves on. From once they go back into college, they're back with their friends. The focus for them is obviously pre-season, but their focus is well ahead of anything else, that to play at a higher level in a championship competition for them. They're trying to balance everything with playing the leagues as well, so it's a difficult time. So maybe they'll be glad of a week or two off, and hopefully come back refreshed and ready to go for the championship. Hopefully that happens.
Sure. In terms of the game in general, there's been a lot of discussion over what rules should have been changed and everything. Were you pleased or disappointed that the black card didn't come in? Cork were backing it.
The county board backed it, from a point of view. So I wasn't in favour of the black card. Not in the context. I think that, I think it needs a further discussion about it. There's no doubt, we've seen it and we've come across it ourselves in some shape or form, where there is a bit of cynicism in there that needs to be looked at. But I think the referees have enough on their plate without, worried about another card coming in as to sending the sin bin. I think the hurling's in a good place. It's not perfect by any shape or form, but it's in a good place, and obviously it's something that they wanted to look at. And there were some figures came out there in relation to some of the fouls that were being conceded in the second half of matches, and there were some of them were quite cynical, and but the cynical play in every sport, Larry, like, it's always there.
But there is, of course. And the thing is, like, I noticed a study that came out, they were saying there was a 40 freeze or whatever, like the 25 were cynical, and half of them got a yellow card or whatever. Some of them got a red card, half of them got a yellow card, and half of them got no sanction at all. Which says to me that they're not using the yellow cards properly.
Sanctions, that's there. Yeah,
if they use the yellow card before you bring in another card.
I was glad it didn't come in. Because I think, I just think that I think maybe there's different ways of looking at it, a situation where there's other ways maybe to look at, rather than a black card. If it happens inside the 45 metre line, maybe the option of a penalty or something, if it happens in the last, basketball, do it with different rules. When you've got when you go over a certain amount of team fouls, you get the free shots, whatever it is. So there's different ways of looking at it. I was glad it didn't come in.
Even thinking of the Tip Cork match, we'll pick out the Tip fellow who did the cynical foul rather than the one off the other end for the penalty there. But I think it was Sean O'Brien capsized Cadsey from behind
on. And he was on yellow at the time.
He was on yellow. That was a simple thing to give him a yellow card there. Yeah. I don't think anyone would have complained if he got a second yellow card. He wouldn't even be suspended the following week. It would have been, rather than bring in a black card for that situation, that would have been an obvious use of the yellow card.
There's some anomalies there. We have the situation where, like, Robbie O'Flynn is missing. He got sent off against Galway. he, you know, as it turned out, that was our last league match, so he can't.
Yeah.
He has to miss the next game in which is championship for us. So, like, the penalty for Robbie is that he misses, if the season played out as it was, he was missing 3 months.
Yeah.
Because he'd missed the first game, and then he wouldn't play again until the 31st of May. So he would miss all March, all April, and all May. You know, and there's other guys who played in the same competition, got 2 yellows, or got a red card, but would be, the fact that their game was postponed a couple of weeks ago, they would have had a chance to have their match played, and they would miss nothing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's very serious. I think it's very unlucky, and like we were very, you know, we were discussing it, and it's just very, I think it's very unfair that a guy can get a situation where, you know, he got the red card, didn't appeal it, took it on board.
The way it was working out,
it was a 3-month suspension. He was, like, in a season where hurling has now played for 7 or 7.5 months, he was missing 3 months of that. It's only 50% of the season gone for him.
Yeah.
For a rash tackle, there was no issue.
It wasn't malicious in any shape or form.
It was high, but that penalty was severe. You know, so
it's probably right that there's a zero tolerance approach to high tackles coming in. But maybe then the other side of that is we might have to look at some of the rules around suspensions that result from some of those.
Yeah. I think what's been done over the years has been very good, in that, you know, if you got sent off playing with your club or playing with your county,
same level, same competition. Yeah.
That's brilliant. That's ideal. But at times there'll be ones that'll fall through the cracks. You know, and I think, you know, when it's not fair for everybody, when just because our match went ahead against Westmead, other teams then their match went off. They had the other opportunity in their second last match to get to play out the suspension. Unfortunately for us, Robbie is not available for us now. There'll be a frustration from our point of view when that happens, you know.
Allianz. Supporting all 32 counties through the Allianz Leagues.